Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, a lot to talk about today here on Call to Action, and I've got some clips that I want to play from a recent interview I did with Christopher Yuan. Christopher Yuan, an incredible story, his own personal story, and he's been on the show a number of times. And his own journey, he was dealing with a drug addiction. He was a medical student. He was same-sex attraction. That was his lifestyle. And ended up in jail. Really just compelling, incredible story. He'll actually be in town this Friday and Saturday for the Transforming Grace Conference. So if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham area or in North Carolina, where we're broadcasting on the Truth Radio Network there, which happens to be my home state, of course. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina. If this issue touches your life at all, and for all of us really as Christians living in the United States of America anymore, this issue is touching all of our lives, perhaps not on a personal level in terms of it's you, you're dealing with same-sex attraction, or it's a friend or a family member, a spouse, whatever the case may be, somebody at work. But in general, our culture, as you know, of course, has changed radically when it comes to the issue of same-sex attraction and homosexual issues, same-sex marriage, all of that. And so we need to get better equipped at handling this conversation, dealing with this conversation apologetically and stating and defending a position as a Christian, as a follower of the way, as a follower of God's word, but also in ministering to people and just meeting people where they're at and for the sake of the gospel. And it's very difficult. It's a highly charged issue. We kind of stumble all over it. There's a lot of dividing lines there. And Christopher Yuan, just one of the best, really. I've known him for a couple of years now, just one of the best at handling the issue. But you have to listen carefully. It's not just kind of this black and white bumper sticker mentality conversation anymore. It's totally ineffective and really not biblical anyway. When you read through the New Testament and you read how Jesus interacted with people, the use of parables, the use of questions, he was a very, very, very sophisticated communicator, but always getting right to the truth with grace fully intact. And so that's the challenge. So I've got a number of clips I want to play from my recent interview with Christopher, but he'll be here in Raleigh this Friday for the Transforming Grace Conference, which I've put up on my Facebook page many, many times, facebook.com/C2A Radio, the letter C, the number two, the letter A as in called to action, C2A Radio. It's also, if you go to my homepage, C2A Today.com, you can link over to the Facebook page there. But the Transforming Grace, our friends at Beyond Imagination here in town, the road less traveled for those with unwanted same-sex attractions and those who love them. And actually, Christopher's coming into town with his mother and father. They were immigrants from China. I think, if I recall correctly, they were atheists themselves when they first came over here. So this is a family story. So they're going to be here as a family this Friday evening and then again on Saturday. Just really incredible for people who are dealing with same-sex attraction or somebody in your family, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, anyone, anywhere in your sphere of influence in life. This is an incredible opportunity for you to come out and hear about it from really the center of that kind of a story, and then biblically and apologetically, and then some breakouts for families or for men alone or women alone. So that's going to be there, and I have the privilege of kind of serving as an MC this weekend for Transforming Grace. So I've got all those links up on the Facebook page. So make sure you get over there and check that out. Especially if you're here in North Carolina, I'm telling you right now, just based on Christopher Yuan alone and his family, and his mom and dad will be here, and then the wonderful folks at Beyond Imagination. Steve Bjork's been on this show before and shared his story, another heart-wrenching story, but ultimately a story of God's grace and transformative powers and a new life and just incredible. But he runs Beyond Imagination here in Raleigh. So even if you're in North Carolina anywhere, this will be worth your drive to get here, especially if this touches you personally and close to home. This is going to be an incredible opportunity for you to learn, to be encouraged, to hear right from people that are dealing with this issue themselves and have been down this road. And this is when you can't travel effectively on your own. So please consider coming out. I'm going to get to these clips from Christopher Yuan. And then we're going to talk about, this is just breaking news. Kim Davis was just released from jail. She was the clerk over in Kentucky who was taking a stand against issuing same-sex marriage licenses on religious grounds, and mostly because her name would end up on the license, and she felt like that was an endorsement of what that means. And of course, many of us would say, yeah, I agree, that's a religious conscience issue, that's a Title VII issue, have somebody else do it, or just don't put her name on there personally, just put the office of the clerk. There's ways around it from a Title VII perspective and from a constitutional perspective, but she was just released. A lot of different opinions on that one, and I'm going to share several of those, and if we have time, Hillary Clinton's lead and Joe Biden, run Joe, run. He was hearing those chants at a parade he was at yesterday, a Labor Day parade, so if I have time, I'll get to that as well. But I wanted to dive right into some of these clips. Now, Satan doesn't like us engaging this issue effectively. There's no question about it. And especially, you know, and we've talked about this before. We talked about it with J.D. Greer last week. You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, as we must be, we have some ground to make up here. We have not been very effective communicators, especially gospel-centric communicators on this issue, where you have truth. I mean, we've been pounding away on the truth of this same-sex attraction issue, the homosexuality issue, for years, right? We know what the Bible says. We get the truth, all right? But we haven't really done grace very well. And some people have. This isn't every single Christian that's engaged this issue has dropped the ball. But I think most of us, and a lot of us just quite frankly, never engaged it at all. And we have kind of this bumper sticker mentality. So that's why I'm going to be playing this with Christopher. And you got to listen carefully. And of course, Satan hates it. If we're going to get this right and for the gospel's sake, be able to speak to people that are in the same-sex attraction realm, that's part of their reality and what they're dealing with. And if we're going to be effective there, Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want that with anybody. He doesn't want us advancing the gospel inside any sphere, inside any group of people, whether it's about issues of sexuality or just cross-cultural, different religions, different faiths. He wants the gospel shut down. What happened when I recorded this just about a week ago, something happened in the system. So you're going to hear some high buzz stuff every once in a while. And when we would be a little loud in the recording. So I got rid of it painstakingly, spent the last hour doing that, trying to make it, and most of it's fine, but you'll hear it a little zzz every once in a while. And that's just the way it is. But the content's so important. And this message in this time with Christopher is so important. You're going to get the meat of it and the gist of it. And this is just the tip of the iceberg as he comes here this weekend to share a whole lot more. But at first, I was just asking him generally about his own story, because it's a compelling story and one that involved his mom and dad, which you'll hear the whole thing if you come to the Transforming Grace Conference this weekend here in Raleigh. But I asked him about that real quickly at the beginning of our conversation together.
Well, Steve, you know, I lived as a gay man. I was not a Christian growing up, but I came out of the closet in my early 20s. And I was going to dental school. I was actually kicked out of dental school. Regretfully, I got involved in drugs. And, you know, not all gays and lesbians do drugs, promiscuous. Unfortunately, that's part of my story. I got expelled from dental school. And the whole time, actually through me coming out, that was what brought my parents to faith. And then after years of just kind of spiraling out of control, my parents were praying for a miracle. And the amazing thing was they were not praying that, you know, I would become straight. But really, their main prayer was that I would come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because that's always the main issue. Have we surrendered our lives completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, or have we not? And all the other things are important, but they're never the main issue. And you know, but the only way that we can, you know, run from the world and resist our flesh is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So my parents prayed for that, a miracle, and lo and behold, that miracle came with my arrest. I found myself in jail, and while in jail, that was really the beginning of my journey of faith. At my darkest, deepest, darkest moment of my life, God used that. I actually got the news that I was HIV positive while I was in prison, and God used that to really draw me to Himself first. But really break the paradigms that I had over the years, and the misunderstanding that I had of what was not just the church's teaching, but what was a teaching from the Bible about biblical sexuality.
And you see, just with the beginning comments there, with Christopher's approach to all this, it's very biblical. He went on to go to Moody Bible Institute. He's working on his PhD right now. He's very, very good in exegesis, which is just pulling apart the scriptures to get to the actual original intent, the actual meaning of any passage of scripture, as opposed to the way that a lot of us do our Bible studies. What does this mean to you? The main question is, what does this mean? What did God mean in this passage of scripture? So when you go through these questions with Christopher, he really brings you to a gospel-centered, really loving focus on kind of what comes first. A friend of mine who's been on this show before, Eric Garner, who was living same-sex attraction, fully blown, living the homosexual lifestyle, and then thought he was a Christian when he was a kid, and then later on realized that as he would say it, he went into the waters of baptism as a dry sinner. He came out a wet sinner, but he did not come out born again. And this whole issue of being born again is really what's going to come out of this conversation with Christopher. So as we deal with this, my friend Eric, once when I had him come in and speak to the adult Sunday school class I was teaching at the time, I said, what's the number one message you would share with those of us in the evangelical church about reaching out to people that are dealing with same-sex attraction? And he got very serious. He got, there was a little, he bowed up a little bit. There was some aggression in his voice, and he pointed his finger at all of us. And he said, you have to remember that it's not your job to clean the fish. That was probably 8 years ago. I have never forgotten that moment. I never will. It's not your job to clean the fish. Whose job is it? That would be the Holy Spirit. That would be Jesus. You become born again, and then the effort of sanctification starts. We'll talk to Christopher about that as well. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action, talking about a very important issue. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble here on Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. I hope you had a good Labor Day. Listen, this week, before I get back to my interview with Christopher Yuan, this week is the National Suicide Prevention Week, okay? And if you were here and tuned in on Friday, a longtime friend of mine last Thursday evening tried to end his own life. He survived. There's the road ahead now for him and the people in his life. And it's been a very difficult several days. And that was a shocking thing. It came out on Facebook, and then I got a text about it, read it literally at the end of the show on Thursday last week at 5 o'clock, right when I got off the air. I saw this text, go look on this person's Facebook page, and it was a suicide note, and they had already done what they were trying to do to end their life. And it's been a very difficult 4 or 5 days since then. And especially given the fact that I have another friend, a person that's part of our prayer ministry, our prayer group for Call to Action, whose cousin died suddenly, suicide over the weekend. Everybody was shocked. Nobody knew. The world is a crime scene, friends. There's broken people. There's brokenness all around us. That always makes me think of that Haley Joel Osment show with Bruce Willis, The Sixth Sense, when the little boy says, I see dead people. Listen, there's hurting people everywhere, all around us, in your office, in your home. It might be you. The God of the universe, he loves you. And there's no end to his hope, to the hope that you find in him, and to his ability to love you and care for you and help you, and to use people in his family to help you. And so please, if it's somebody you know, if it's you, there's help available. Do not give up, because as I experienced with the people that are grieved and broken and destroyed, other than the person that's such a dark place that they would consider ending their life, it's unbelievable. It's a shockwave that goes deeply into the hearts and minds and souls of the people that love the individual. So I put it up on Facebook, the link there to the National Suicide Prevention Week. It's this week. Please go on there and share it. If you don't do anything else today, I don't care if you listen to me ultimately, but get to my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, C2A, the letter C, the number two, the letter A, C2A Radio. And many of you are already there and have liked the page, and that's awesome. But get there and share it. Share it and get it out there, because you don't know who's looking. Listen, there's like 4,500 people that look at that page, and I don't know how many people look at your page, and all the people that are listening to me right now, every one of you, many of you, if not most of you, are on Facebook, and there's a lot of people looking at your page. I guarantee you, you add all of our spheres of influence together, there's somebody out there right now who's considering suicide. And we need to do what we can to get to them, okay? We need to do what we can. And so I put the links up there. There's different resources and emergency phone numbers that people can call by state. And if, you know, send me a message on Facebook, I'll do what I can. I went into full screaming prayer mode as soon as I got that text, and I'm calling, and it was just this frantic nightmare for 30, 40, 50 minutes until we found out that this individual was still alive. And just please get there and share that. And if you know somebody, if it's you, please get help. God loves you, and help is available. Please don't give up. Don't give up. I want to go back to this. Christopher Yuan, this, my second question for him was talking about oftentimes we kind of identify, and I'm so guilty of this. I mentioned this last week with J.D. Greer, Pastor J.D. Greer on here talking about the subject, that I'll often think of somebody in terms of their sexual orientation. So if I'm somebody in the news, somebody I've encountered, and they're living the homosexual lifestyle, then that's how I categorize them. Oh, homosexual. And I don't think of them in terms of that being a human made in the image of God, who God loves and Jesus died for. I cast them in a totally different light. And I asked Christopher, it seems like we've totally missed the boat on this one, have we?
Yeah, you know, I think we kind of have. And again, I'm not at all diminishing the importance of sexual purity, or I'm not at all diminishing the sinfulness of sexual brokenness or sexual sin at all. But for any sexual sin, the main focus should be first surrender to Jesus Christ, because, you know, we can try to break free from sin on our own human efforts. We can try, but we really will never be successful. And honestly, some people could be even successful to not, you know, break free. But again, that is a man-made, a false victory. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it comes down to, do we know Jesus Christ? Have we surrendered to him? Because that is actually the starting point of a life of holiness. I mean, how could you begin a life of holiness if you don't know Jesus Christ? So that's the beginning and starting point. But then from there, and I don't want to make it just so easy that, oh, just come to know Jesus and all your problems will be taken care of.
Right.
Not at all. But that's the beginning starting point. And so as Christians, as we are working with either unbelieving people who are in the LGBT community, or Christians who are wrestling with same-sex attractions, we need to begin with that strong foundation. Are you truly born again? Are you continuing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Are you putting to death your sinful temptations daily? Then, you know, let's move on from there. And that's when sanctification, that journey begins.
And he brings up, just like I said, he brings up so many excellent points. And in talking about the gospel first and then the journey of sanctification. So what's involved once somebody becomes born again? Christopher has just some amazing thoughts on this, some really heartfelt biblical thoughts, all about the process of gospel proclamation first. And then once somebody is born again, then what? You know, you'll hear it in after the break. So what? You're lost, and you're dealing with same-sex attraction on Friday. On Saturday, you go to revival. You get born again. On Sunday, all of a sudden, you love members of the opposite sex. And on Monday, you meet the one. And on Tuesday, you're married quickly. Is that it? Well, no. I mean, think about yourself. I need to think about myself. Once you were born again, how many of the sins in your life just disappeared? Now for some of us, some things instantaneously. I grew up taking the Lord's name in vain. The day I was born again, once that I had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit, I was born again. I was a new creation. A new man was born inside of me. I could not take my Savior's name in vain. That happened for me immediately. For my wife, it was swearing, and very quickly it was drinking. I mean, immediately. But for me, I mean, getting drunk, that didn't go away immediately. Eventually it did. And then it was wine. 3 glasses of wine, and then down to two, and then down to one, and now I don't drink at all. Now I'm not going to open up that can of worms. I'm not talking about you have a glass of wine, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. That's not it at all. I'm talking about a process. We'll hear some more about that with Christopher Yuan talking about same-sex attraction. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. We'll be right back.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble here on Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I hope it was restful and you enjoyed some time with your family. Never miss those opportunities. Trust me, with four kids, most of you know this if you have children, that stuff just goes away so fast. Time goes so quickly. So whenever we have those opportunities, let's make sure we seize them. Today we're listening to an interview I did recently, last week actually, with Christopher Yuan. He'll be here in town this Friday and Saturday at the a conference that you need to be aware of, especially if you're here in North Carolina, Transforming Grace, The Road Less Traveled, for those with unwanted same-sex attractions and those who love them. Christopher Yuan's got an incredible personal story. It involves his parents. Ended up at Moody Bible Institute. He is just, I mean, unbelievable story. He's HIV positive and an incredible book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. The gospel is in there. He's a great apologist in terms of dealing with the issue of same-sex attraction, homosexuality, in terms of the pages of scripture, but also how do you reach people? How do you engage people? How do you approach this subject in a way that's Christ-honoring and loving towards the people in your life that are dealing with this, and you're trying to come alongside them with the gospel and then just for healing, as all of us need. We all need to progress. Once we become a follower of Jesus Christ, we're born again. Then the sanctification process as gets started as we then become more and more like Christ, and we're communicating with and hopefully cooperating with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I asked him about that. So like once you're born again, if you're dealing with same-sex attraction, once you're born again, kind of then what? Like what's the goal at that point?
Well, an important thing that we have to have a paradigm shift is I think. The church, in our passion for sexual purity and our burden to help others to embrace biblical sexuality, we had built up a false paradigm in which we viewed the issue of sexual identity and homosexuality as a disorder, almost like a disease, like it was a psychological issue. And honestly, when we make the wrong diagnosis, we will always come up with an incorrect method of treating it or working, you know, ministering to people with this issue and helping people. And when we treat this issue as a disorder or a disease or a psychological problem, then people, of course, will then figure, well, then we need to use digging into their past and fixing people of their father wounds, et cetera, when ultimately that's the wrong diagnosis, because really we look at the issue of homosexuality and the Bible says it is a sin issue. And a sin issue, we don't rectify that by digging into our past or healing wounds from our childhood, because we don't struggle with sin because of something that happened in my childhood. We struggle with sin, the Bible says, because we all have a sin nature. And when we make that correct diagnosis that it's a sin nature issue, then obviously, then it makes it easy to know that, well, the answer for a sin issue is the gospel. The answer to sin issue is a life surrendered to Christ. And the answer to that are things that we as the church should know how to do, and that's mentor, discipleship, accountability, walking with people on that road towards sanctification.
Okay, so you're picking up on kind of where he's going here, kind of this central theme that flows through everything that Christopher says, and you'll hear it especially in the next clip. The central theme is always coming back to the root of the problem, which is sin. We did this last week, going through this kind of diatribe that Glenn Beck put out on Facebook about all the major breaking, heartbreaking stories that are going on out there, whether it's ISIS, Planned Parenthood videos, the Black Lives Matter movement, the religious freedom challenges that we're talking about, like with Kim Davis, who was released released from jail today, the Kentucky clerk who refused to issue marriage licenses because her name was going to be on them, and same-sex marriage licenses based on her Christian faith. She didn't want to have her name on those things. So, and so as you go through all that, you have to deal with the here and the now. That's where we live. We have to, you know, even Paul took advantage of his Roman citizenship. He's getting the tar beat out of him again. And then he reminds the Roman soldiers, hey, listen, by the way, I'm a Roman citizen. And the Roman soldiers, they have to deal with him. Oh boy. Okay. So now they had to protect them. They took him into protective custody. That's ultimately how he ended up going all the way to Rome. So we have to deal with the realities today. We deal with ISIS. How do you deal with ISIS? Well, for me and from my perspective, you eliminate them. You eliminate them. We have a major humanitarian crisis going on over there with all the refugees. And then we have to decide if we care about our fellow human beings that we're going to try to bring them in. And here in America, it's easier to get in here if you're a Muslim than it is a persecuted Christian from overseas. And we have to come against that. We absolutely do. But what's the heart of all these problems? The Planned Parenthood thing. Do we need to defund, dismantle, and prosecute Planned Parenthood? Absolutely. But what's the ultimate solution for the people that work at Planned Parenthood that can talk about baby parts while they eat their Caesar salad over a glass of red wine? That's a heart issue. It's the gospel. That's what changes that person. And then it, of course, changes their mind and their behavior. So we have to deal with what the reality we're facing now. That's activism. That's the law. We have to fight for our constitutional rights. And you know what I mean by that. But then the ultimate solution is always comes back to what Christopher's talking about, which is the gospel. So I asked him about that. So let's say somebody's struggling, same-sex attraction, they get saved. And then what? Kind of where do you go from there? What's the next step? What does this look like? And that's the next question.
In my book, my first book, I focused on a chapter toward the end, and it focused upon sexuality and what is our goal when it comes to sexuality, because I had this misunderstanding that the goal was heterosexuality. I often hear Christians say, well, the Bible promotes heterosexuality. And yet, if we really break that down, you know, I mean, I studied exegesis when I was in seminary, so, you know, we break things down and we really kind of define each word and make sure that we're using it correctly. Heterosexuality, first, is a man-made secular term. It's not a biblical term. And it's a category that we actually don't find in the Bible. And our listeners might think, are you sure?
Right.
You know, a man and a woman in the marriage. But
now I'm stepping in here just for a second, because for me as a recovering culture warrior, it's very easy to just go ballistic at this point, because you're hearing one thing and you're just in painting the whole picture with the same color. Okay, you have to listen, please. Give Christopher some time to unpack this. You have to listen what he's after here, because it's actually quite accurate and really effective and compassionate and beautiful. It's a great gospel-centric way to come at this issue. So, and again, forgive the little buzzing that's going on there. You know, Satan doesn't want us doing this stuff. So, you know, every once in a while you get a tech issue. That's another thing that we need to pray about, because that's the world that we live in, especially here on live radio. So please forgive those. But the content of this is so important. So please listen and try to track along with what Christopher's saying to us here.
That's the whole point. The Bible talks about marriage, but it's not promoting heterosexuality, because I could be sleeping with, let's say, even a woman who's not my wife. I could say he's my girlfriend. I could say I love her. I could even say we're about to get married, you know, in 6 months. But still, that is considered sin. But in the world's eyes, that could be considered heterosexuality. A man could be looking at pornography on the internet, you know, and yet that could still be considered heterosexuality. So heterosexuality is too broad of a term for us to use as a standard, a goal. It's not homosexuality. So I coined a term, and I call it holy sexuality. That's the name of the chapter in my book, because I coined that because I didn't have a term to describe what it was that God is calling us to. And really, it's only two options, Steve. First, if we are married, complete faithfulness to our spouse of the opposite sex. Or if you're single, complete faithfulness through abstinence. Those are the only two options. That can change over time.
Right.
Like for myself,
right.
I am single now. I am open to getting married to a woman, but that's not my main focus. And I think another important aspect is that, you know, as we see that as our goal when it comes to sexuality, holy sexuality, either marriage, complete faithfulness to your spouse, or or singleness, complete faithless or abstinence, we realize that we have done a good job at promoting the goodness of marriage, but we have not done a good job at promoting the goodness of singleness.
Yeah, and that's a great point, which we don't talk about very often at all. I'm gonna do a show coming up on that one, the whole issue of singleness, because we make it seem in the culture, and I don't want to go down this rabbit trail right now, but we make it seem in the culture, we do this in the church, that if you're 45 years old and you're single, something's wrong. And I know it's easy to make that case, is it not? But Paul makes a case in the scriptures that singleness can be something that's a gift from God, so that you are uniquely set up to serve in kingdom endeavors, because you don't have that added responsibility in your life of a marriage and a family. And so it's a really interesting point that Christopher brings up there. We're not going to go down that road anymore today, but I did want to make a note of that. I asked him about this as we were talking to Christopher Yuan, and again, he'll be in Raleigh this Friday evening and Saturday, actually with his parents, who are a big part of this story, the Transforming Grace Conference, The Road Less Traveled for Those with Unwanted Same-Sex Attractions and Those Who Love Them. If you go to beyondimagination.org, that's the main website. That's the organization run by my friend Steve Bjork, who's put this together, beyondimagination.org. Or you can just go to my Facebook page and find it there. If you're in North Carolina, hey, listen, even if you're listening and you're in some other state and this issue is a big thing for you right now, either personally or with somebody that you love, somebody you care for, it's rare that you get to hear from somebody like Christopher, and especially with his parents added in there. It's going to be an unbelievably powerful. My wife and I are both going. It's going to be super powerful. So even if you need to jump on a plane or drive a few hours, it's worth it. It's worth it. We're talking about people's lives here, people that we love. And so let's make sure we're engaging this well. So the last question that I asked for him is how do we approach the people in our lives that are dealing with same-sex attraction? How do we approach them? What's our language like? What's our goal when it comes to them? He says some really beautiful things here. This is about a four-minute clip, so this one's going to go for a while. We'll hit the break when we're done with this one.
You know, it comes down to identity. We need to help people understand and to break the mindset that your sexuality is who you are, or even the core of who you are. We have been taught this in our culture and in our, you know, through movies and in schools that they give us the words to help describe your experience and turn your experience into who you are. So, for example, people will say, I am gay, or they'll say, I am straight, almost equating who we are, our person, at the core of our being, with our sexuality, which is basically our experience. And this was done in late 1900s by people like Freud and other psychologists, philosophers, and it was a shift. Oftentimes the gay community talk about, well, there was never a word for homosexuality, which is true, but what people then don't continue to say is there definitely was the concept of the action, behavior, but it was in that time in the late 1900s that it turned into a noun, a word, to describe a person, homosexual. There never was before a word that would describe even heterosexual. So I think as Christians, we need to help each other to remind each other that this is not who we are. I don't even think we should use those categories of homosexual. But rather, we need to see us according to what the Word of God says. First of all, in Genesis 1, we are created in the image of God. But then we can't leave it there, because later on in Genesis 3, we see that we all are fallen. We all have a sinful nature. And so often when people say, well, you know, I've had these feelings for as long as I remember, I never chose them.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop it right there, because I want you to hear the rest of this clip. He really goes into something here that it's so powerful. You just gotta hear it. We're gonna come back after this break and finish up with Christopher Yuan. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. Hang in there. Here on Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. Going through an interview I did recently with Christopher Yuan, who's going to be here in Raleigh this Friday evening and Saturday, actually with his mom and dad. I think Christopher's probably in his mid-40s, would be my guess. His parents were immigrants from China. An incredible story The Transforming Grace Conference is Friday and Saturday. So if you're here in the North Carolina area, especially if you're here in the Triangle where I'm at, please do not miss this. It's a great value for, it's like $50 is the most that you'll pay for this. It includes lunch on Saturday. You just can't get this kind of information, this kind of wisdom, this kind of help jumping online or whatever. In person, face to face, having an opportunity to interact with Christopher and his parents. An incredible opportunity if you're dealing with the issue of same-sex attraction, whether it's you personally, a friend, a family member, a son, daughter, coworker. We all need to. We all have a lot of improvement that we need to do in engaging our culture and our people made in the image of God that are dealing with this issue. We all have a lot of work to do on this one, which is why I've dedicated a decent amount of time to it recently. Because as the culture changes and the issue, because we're more and more in the minority every day, friend. That's the reality. You know, just ask Kim Davis. By the way, she was just released from jail a little over an hour ago. The Kentucky judge, the Kentucky clerk who refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses. I want to put you in her shoes tomorrow. So I'm going to save that story till tomorrow. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We'll open up the phone lines and see what would you do. You're a Christian. You're working for the state. You're supposed to issue marriage licenses, and now the same-sex marriage issue, according to the five members of the U.S. Supreme Court, now that's the law of the land, quote unquote. What do you do? What do you do? It's not an easy conversation, and there's a lot of different opinions even within the world of Christendom. So we'll talk about that one tomorrow and open up the phones. Christopher, you on in this question I was asking him about, kind of now what do you do? How do you reach out to people dealing with same-sex attraction? How do you engage that subject? And he's getting to a gospel point here that's really super important. So I'm going to pick it up right where I left off before we hit the break.
I feel like that, you know, I believe that I'm born this way, and even people who say that say they're Christian, and when they say that, they really completely understand one of the core doctrines of Christianity, and it is our humanity. What does it mean to be a person? Two things: you're created in the image of God, and you have a sinful nature from birth. I mean, that doesn't change at any time in our life.
Right.
So to say that, you know, somehow I was born this way, or, you know, I think I'm born this way, or I've had these feelings for as long as I remember, I chose them. Well, none of us chose to have a sinful nature. That just is. We could pray as much as we want, and that'll never go away. And from birth, we all have a sinful nature. Now, I do not believe that people are born gay. There is not enough evidence yet to show that. There's a lot of research, and so far, nothing is conclusive, other than it's most likely a multiplicity of factors, some that are genetic, hormonal, some that are developmental, societal, etc. But we still don't know. But what I love to tell people that are fully convinced that they're born gay is that ultimately, I can just tell you what the Bible says, that though you think you were born gay, the Bible says you must be born again.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the gospel?
That is the gospel.
That is not a message just for the gay community. This is a message for the whole world, everyone. We all must be born again. The old is gone, the new has come. You are a new creation. And once you become that new creation, that is when the journey begins, to begin that process of sanctification and pursuing holiness.
All right, so are you tracking there? I mean, I am so glad. Thank you, Stephen Bjork, because he introduced me to Christopher Yuan several years ago for the first time. And the first time I had him on, I'm like, okay, I've never really heard anybody talk about the issue of same-sex attraction like this before. And I'm sure you've noticed by now how I'm trying to avoid using the word homosexual, because we've taken that's such a loaded word. And just like when I was talking to J.D. Greer, Pastor J.D. Greer, last week from the Summit Church, and he had somebody on Twitter, is like, they were cringing every time because we take that word and now we've labeled people and we put them in a separate class, and it's not helpful. It's not helpful to the person. It's not helpful to the gospel. And so this is not a compromise, friends. This is compassion. We know truth, but we have to get the grace part right too. Jesus, John chapter 1, Jesus full of grace and truth. Interesting to me how grace precedes truth. But both, he did both all the time. That's the bar that he set for all of us. Well, regardless of the issue, it's National Suicide Prevention Week. And you can get mad at somebody. that's tried to commit suicide. Believe me, I get it. I've gone through that in the last 4 or 5 days. I told you a friend of mine tried to kill himself on Thursday. There's anger there. And there should be because of all the havoc that wreaks. But there's got to be compassion. There's truth, but there's compassion. There's grace. And that's what I really appreciate about Christopher Yuan. He's talking about, whether you're born gay, what you need to be is born again. I was born this. I was born that. I was born with a proclivity to this, that, and the other thing. Human depravity, we're born with a sin nature, whether it shows up in your sexual life or in the way you treat people, the way you view yourself, the way you treat your body, whatever. We all need to be born again. That's the gospel. That's why, like I said it earlier, and this is really becoming the central theme of Call to Action Radio, is yes, we engage in the here and the now. But understand, friend, understand that all the solutions that we can have, the political solutions, the cultural solutions, the international solutions, military solutions, financial solutions, those are temporary because they don't deal with the real heart of the problem. And the real heart of the problem is a heart issue. It's a gospel issue. It's a sin issue. And that's why, on one hand, I really, really deeply appreciate Glenn Beck, but he never gets to the solution for the heart issue, which is the gospel. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I'll see you tomorrow. God willing.